This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. Here we are. It's Tuesday, 13 February. How's everybody doing? Good morning, Sia. Good morning, Ben. Good morning, Matt.
Look who's back. Yeah.
I'm really happy to be back. I know it's the weirdest thing. Like, every holiday I've ever been on, my favorite part is coming home. Even if I've had a great holiday, it's just... I think there's something wrong with me. Most people hate that. Most people, when their holiday ends, they're like, oh no, I don't want to stop. So I feel like I got back and nothing's changed, because I see Bozo's still there, and they can't remove him. I mean, the ANC had an NEC last night at that favorite place of theirs, St. George's Hotel. I wonder why they keep going back there, the ANC. Ooh. Always have their meetings there. Have you noticed?
There's got to be something there. I'm not talking about water. A nice chicken pie either.
Company discount.
Also, the escort stories that must exist out of that hotel.
Well, you mean like...
ladies of
like
the night.
Politicians.
What happens at St. George's stays at St. George's.
Maybe there that's why go. They love it. I want to know what it is about that hotel. I've emceed functions there. Mm-hmm. Not for the ANC, but... I've emceed functions there, and it's been... I just find it a very weird place. It's like they've got... You know the kind of marble you would use on your kitchen countertops, or granite that you'd use in your kitchen countertops? That shiny sort of...
Yeah.
They've got that in the driveway. You drive in on that stuff.
Oh, what? Who thought that was
very
a good plan
weird.
Either?
It's weird. It's like it was put together by someone who owned that sort of business, and they didn't know what else to do with all this extra stone.
That must be treacherous on a rainy day.
Oh, yeah. You would think, right?
You can't run.
So the escorts must get dropped right at the front door, because you can't run in heels.
No, not in heels, bruh.
Anyway, so they had this meeting, and apparently Cyril got the mandate from the NEC. This guy's got to go, which is pretty amazing, because there are a lot of people in that NEC who are as rotten as the president. Anyway, the majority of people said he's got to go. So they issue this ultimatum. So Cyril gets in his car. I mean, I can't believe that they're still driving around, like, giving this guy any... They're treating him with respect, basically, which I wouldn't do.
No, because he takes advantage of it.
Yeah, and then they go to his house, and they say to him, listen, you got to go. We're doing this thing, and we're going to recall you. So he goes, all right, but give me 3 months. As someone on Twitter said, that's like... You see the bank robber, they're busy in the safe, in the bank, and they're hauling gold out and putting it on the trolley, and they're about to make a getaway, and then the police arrive, and they say to the police, listen, just give us another 2 hours. Can you come back in 2 hours, then we'll be finished?
Yeah.
Cleaning out the safe.
Spot on.
That's apt.
Very considerate.
And now the ANC says they're going to host a motion of no confidence against the president. I mean, he's really played this badly, because if he'd just resigned... Then he might have got all the perks, you know? Now he's going to end up with nothing. And probably jail time on the other side of it.
Well, that's what we all hope.
It is what we hope, though, isn't it?
Yeah, even if you were sitting on the fence or didn't really care. Like, I'm not a malicious individual, but I want to see this guy rot. Like, to the point that, like, his days involve rats. Like, that bad.
Yeah.
I actually don't care.
But we know you don't care much.
No, because, like, we've all as a country invested so many emotions into this guy. It's exhausting. And we know that the way of the world is that some people get away with murder. That's just the way it is. And then other people don't. I no longer care about this guy.
Do you think it can happen that he goes to jail?
I think it's right. I mean, it's right.
There are people waiting to prosecute him. So there are people who want to prosecute him.
And would it be a South African jail? Will he
No, it'll be a South African jail.
Well, he hasn't stolen from other people. He's been very loyal with his plunderings here.
I agree with what Mabali is saying here, but you know that he's cost you money. He's actually cost you money. This is what a lot of people don't understand, is they think, oh, well, he's just, you know, he's stolen some cash from the treasury, but that doesn't really affect me. Well, he's actually, if you had 100 rand at the start of the Jacob Zuma administration, it would probably be worth about 65 rand now, as opposed to anywhere else in the world, where if you'd put money away 9 years ago, it would be worth more just because of interest. Just because of interest, not because of good management of money or anything like that. So if you think of it that way, are you really still happy for him to just, you know, kind of exist? I think he should go to jail.
Yeah, but further to Mubs's point, like, when you get consumed by rage, you lose track of who you are as a human being. My point is that this guy must be, they must make an example of him so no one else can think they can steal like him.
Right.
And if that happens, then maybe, just maybe, I know I'm reaching for the skies here, politicians would be less shit. Just a little bit. Even if it's just 10%.
Yeah, it would be nice.
It would be nice.
See, I don't have enough faith to believe that politicians will ever not be shit.
And, you know, I'm not saying that. They definitely will be because they're genetically shit people.
But I mean, it's also kind of like when a horrible person breaks into your house, they steal all your stuff, and then they get away, and then like a police investigation never actually catches the guy or puts them behind bars. Eventually, like, people have just got to move on about stuff because unfortunately horrible things happen to people.
That's also true. It's quite practical. But, you know, I have so much to tell you guys. I've been away for a week and a day, but it feels like I've been away for 3 weeks. I mean, even though the news is still the same, everything else is different. I had the most awesome holiday. I just had the most incredibly cool, fun, just busy, tiring, exhausting holiday, but it was fantastic.
Ooh.
Skied my backside off.
So there you didn't get injured?
No.
Yeah, no bumps, bruises, any
sprains. No, I got bruises. I mean, you get bruises. Putting on those ski boots every morning, you dread. That's like the worst part of the whole skiing trip because they have to be really, really tight around your ankles so that you don't break your ankles. You know, because you've got skis that are basically... it's as long as you. And if you twisted those and you didn't have the boots on, you'd snap your ankle.
Oh,
so you have to have these ski boots. I mean, that sounds terrible, but
they don't tell you that when they're trying to get you to the snow.
But they're designed so that if you fall, the skis clip off. They're adjusted to your weight, so they clip off if you fall.
Okay.
So you don't have injuries. And because you're wearing these boots, your ankles are as safe as can be. And your knees take a little bit of strain, but really putting on the boots, I mean, I've got bruises all the way up my shins, basically. But it was worth every one of them. 1,000 times over.
Ooh.
I started off, there were 4 of us who hadn't really done a lot of skiing and we wanted to brush up and make sure that we knew what we were doing. So we got a private instructor for those first 2 days. And she was this French woman called Laurienne. And she took us down these nursery slopes where, you know, the kids, and by the way, there are like 5-year-old kids who are going down sheer black slopes.
Like they learned to ski before they could walk.
Honestly, these kids just buzz right past you and through your legs and everywhere, and they are unbelievable.
Well, those are the kids that are going to be in the Winter Olympics 15 years from now.
Have you been watching?
No, actually not.
So much fun. Anyway, so we went up there and did that for 2 days, and then I was pretty much good to go from there on in. By the third day, I was... going down reds and, you know, that's like you start off on green,
mm-hmm.
which is the safest, easiest, most tranquil ones. You go to blue, which can get a little bit hairy. You go to red, which is scary. And then you get black, which is fucking terrifying. And by the end, I'd done black. And I'd even done some off-piste stuff, which is where you go off the kind of trails that they have that you go down. And through canyons and... Man, the feeling of it is just indescribable. I think I went the fastest I've ever gone, not in a vehicle, on just a pair of skis.
That's quite something.
I must have gone, it felt to me like a lot faster, but it must have been around 40, 45 kilometers an hour. Just going like straight down this really, really fast downhill. And you go in this crouched position, you just go super fast. Man, it's fun. It is the most exciting thing. And I you know... Ben knows this. He gets annoyed with me because a lot of the time I don't care about sport and I'm not very competitive. And
yeah, you're lost.
I'm competitive. That's why I don't like sport, because if I can't win, I don't play. But in this case, it's just the most awesome way to spend your time doing physical activity. We would wake up in the morning, we'd hit the slopes at 9 and we'd finish at 4:30, 5 o'clock, and you'd just be exhausted by 9. So there was a little bit of partying,
mm-hmm.
but hardly any. And maybe 2 nights we got to sleep around midnight. The other nights we were in bed by 9. so that you could be up the next morning. And it's so exhilarating.
And you drink throughout the day, right?
No, not really. You certainly don't. I mean, maybe you'd have like some wine or a beer at lunch. And then in the afternoon, yes. But not during, because you don't want to be drunk and ski. It can be messy.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like the best of combinations.
It could be a Michael Schumacher kind of messy.
Yeah, and we had such great weather. Like, the weather was incredible. We had sunshine, and only on the very last day was there a bit of snow. But we had so much snow before that that, you could ski anywhere. It was fantastic.
And just the weather?
Really great. Well, the weather was good.
Bearably cold. Yeah.
No, well, it's cold, but you have to put on sunblock because the sun's pretty bright up there and the glare is incredible. So if you don't have goggles on the whole time, your eyes will get really sore and damaged.
Oh,
that's great. And that fresh mountain air and, oh man, that cold snow that crunches under your feet. What a way to spend my holiday. I just cannot recommend it enough. You've never done it. It is something everyone on earth should do.
Every single person says they go to a ski resort.
It's
everyone.
It is the most fun. If you're going to have an active holiday, mm-hmm. it's the most fun you can have. I've never. You go to a beach holiday. Most of the time, you lie around.
Exactly.
You know, and if you're the kind of person who goes out into the water, then I understand. I mean, I love doing that too. But this is you wake up in the morning, you know what you're going to do. It's not like those holidays where you go, I think I'll sleep in today, or what should I do today? You basically get out there and you ski as much as you can while you've got the time.
Do you think you got fitter while you were away? Because actually you were active all the time.
Definitely. Legs. The legs, yes.
Right, enjoy.
Because you're in a crouched, well, not a crouched, you're in a knees bent position, mm-hmm. leaning forward most of the time, so you can go down. Mm-hmm. So your weight is forward, and you've got to keep your shoulders to the valley, so that you don't face the wrong way, because if you face the wrong way, you'll turn and then your skis go out behind you and you'll fall. And you have to put the weight from one foot to the other the whole time. So as you're turning, you're putting your weight onto your left foot and then your right foot and then your left foot and then your right foot. So, eventually you learn to kind of turn parallel.
Okay.
So that your skis are perpendicular to the valley below you. But it's great exercise. But you don't feel, your knees will take a bit of strain, but there are 70-year-olds doing this. And there are kids of 4 doing it. So it's not like it's going to take you. Like, running is worse for your knees. Running is far more impact than there is.
Yeah, sure. Unless you're doing the mogul skiing, which is a big favorite.
Oh, yeah, no.
What's mogul skiing?
That's where you got those kind of little hills. They're almost like, because when you see a lot of skiers going down a slope, they carve these diamond shaped kind of like
paths.
No, well, they how would you describe them? They're like bumps, mm-hmm. but they're diamond shaped.
It's like a lot of Toblerones interwoven. We spoke about this last week. So, do you get hit with that gun in Men in Black where they just literally put it in front of your face and then they go, "You remember nothing"? I mean, we had like 3 listeners messaging about the moguls. We spoke about the moguls for 3 days in a row.
Kinda.
Anyway, I did some of that, and when the snow is powdery, like on that last day, and you have, it feels literally like you're skiing on air.
Wow.
It's so light. It's incredible. So it was just so much fun, and this friend of mine got engaged to his girlfriend there, and it was just very romantic and beautiful, and the food was superb, and just everything was great. It was just terrific. Loved, loved, loved it. So best holiday. I'd put it in my top 3 holidays of all time.
Nice. Oh, wow.
No. Oh, yes. Good crew. There wasn't a weak link in the bunch of people that were there.
Yeah, because also with a bit of an active holiday, you want everyone's buy-in.
Yeah,
you can't have someone who says, "Who's like, I'll chill by the bar. I'll see you guys later."
Because those people, I know, but those people they're not going to enjoy it as much as the rest of us will, you know. So you do have to have people who buy in completely. Anyway, that's a quick summary of what I got up to, and I'm curious as to what else I've missed, because whenever I'm away, I try not to pay too much attention to the news. I did catch up on some emails, and I was kind of, buzzing in and out of Twitter and news highlights, but I didn't see anything that was earth-shattering. I do see that there are a couple of stories around politics, but is there anything else that I've missed?
Basically, it's been Cape Town Water, mm-hmm. Bozo the Clown.
Henry van Breda, I see.
No, that hasn't been, as always, it's up to us to bring that back into the news, kicking and screaming down the stairs, bloodied all hell.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, Gareth, you haven't actually missed a whole bunch?
Mm-mm, not really.
Look, we had some interesting conversations around just, you know, daily news.
Uh-huh.
Forgettable stuff. Hong Kong youth don't have sex because they've got nowhere to live by themselves.
Yeah.
Oh, Sia's going to Hong Kong to try and liberate the youth. Yeah,
sexually. When are you off, Sia?
Next week, Monday. So I'll be... Oh, sorry. I'm so sorry. I'll be here for the show in the morning, then straight afterwards flying out.
So what are the dates you're gone?
From Tuesday the 20th till the following week.
Does the following week have a date?
Somewhere in there.
Okay. All right, well, very precise, why did you choose Hong Kong? I'm just curious.
For the nightlife, I've kind of been fascinated by this whole trend of K-pop. Do you know what that is now?
Tell me more.
Carry on.
Yeah, K-pop is now all of this pop music coming from Asia, and it's all these corny boy bands. Do you remember Psy, Gangnam Style?
Yeah.
This just tells you a lot about me, but I'm ready to just don some ridiculous outfit and go out clubbing in Hong Kong. And then afterwards, Bali, because I feel like I now should start penning the first four chapters of my memoir.
Oh, God.
And I'm not calling it an autobiography. I feel like memoir is way more fancy.
Wow.
So I'm following in the steps of like Elizabeth Gilbert with Eat, Pray, Love. So let's see.
All right. Well, that sounds exciting. Okay. Hey.
Listen, still working on a title.
It sounds like the year of yes has continued for an extra couple of months. Yeah, sure.
It's exciting.
All right, it's 6:30. We've got to get into some headlines. Let's go straight to that. Mubs, what do you have for us in the stories of the day, the things we need to know?
Well, the obvious story is obviously about how the ANC ended their marathon closed-door meeting yesterday. 13 hours, reportedly, that session lasted.
Can you imagine if they had to make an important decision that requires some hard work? Like if they take this, how many, 13 hours?
13 hours.
They take 13 hours. So we want to get rid of Jacob Zuma. Let's do it. Okay. 13 hours later.
It reminds me of what a courtroom would look like with a whole bunch of jurors trying to come to a decision of whether or not the person is guilty or innocent.
Yeah, and the first 16 hours is just what happens for lunch. I want chicken. Screw you.
Screw you. Pizza. I'm a vegetarian.
Yeah, we're having wings. I'm a vegan.
So, yes, the outcome of that meeting from yesterday was, yes, the party has decided that they are going to be recalling the president. But as Justice, told us yesterday, there are still a number of hands that the president could play. He's not necessarily going to say, okay, thank you for your service. I will now exit stage left, like Thabo Mbeki did. Remember when he was, you know, told that you should leave, he did exactly that. He left. No, highly unlikely exactly in this situation. The party is expected to have a media briefing at 12 p.m. today to discuss the outcomes of that 13-hour marathon.
Did Justice just laugh when he was talking about this yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, he was also kind of a bit flabbergasted, saying that I'm just tired of trying to apply logic to this man, because if you try and do that, then you are completely going to be wasting your time. So we'll wait and see what comes out of that media briefing this afternoon. 12 p.m. is when it's been set for. And then, of course, amidst all the speculation that was happening yesterday, the Rand was having a good old time. Mm-hmm. It strengthened at the prospect of a Zuma exit. That's what the Rand likes. It likes that prospect.
So does any thinking person. The only people who don't are Faith Mutambi, Des van Rooyen. who else? Mosbenzi Zwane. Batabile Dlamini. I can't really think of anyone else.
Economists were saying that the prospect of a Zuma exit saw the Rand strengthening. They'll also be monitoring it today to see if it will continue to strengthen. But yes, economists are saying that it's quite clear that the market is in support of Cyril Ramaphosa removing the president. So again, people like Anthea and them will be, you know, on high alert today to see how it fluctuates.
Sure.
Yeah. And then in some international news, Vanessa Trump, who is the wife of Donald Trump Jr., was reportedly taken to a hospital yesterday after complaining of nausea. And this is after she was exposed to an unidentified white powder that came in the mail, according to a police spokesman.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah, U.S. authorities have been on high alert for mail with white powder in it since 2001. Remember the anthrax days? What a commotion all of that caused. And yeah, according to news reports yesterday, Trump Jr.'s wife came across an envelope with suspicious white powder, and then she was rushed to hospital with all kinds of symptoms. So, yeah.
Wow.
Who would want to harm
her? You imagine.
Look, maybe it was meant for the son, Trump Jr.
And then she, I think, kind it was addressed to him.
Yeah, and then she got in contact with it.
But you imagine you're just opening your mail, you're like, oh, okay, there's a late Christmas card.
Oh, no.
Post office sends 3 months after it's meant to arrive. Oh, I've got to go and collect a package. And oh, this envelope's full of white powder.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, ugh, Jesus.
But very interestingly enough, I just found out, and I was surprised to find this out, that Melania Trump, out of the entire Trump family, has the highest approval rating. So people like her most.
Which one is
Melania's the wife.
The first lady.
Sure, because she always looks so upset and everyone thinks, it's because you don't like Donald.
Yeah,
no, she doesn't look upset. She's just Eastern European. There's a difference.
The Eastern Europeans, that's their default setting.
Oh, yeah.
They look.
Is looking upset.
Yeah.
Right.
And then lastly, the guys at Ranker have come through yet again with another ranking system. This time, it's about the all-important chocolate bar.
Oh, yeah?
Ooh, which one has been voted the best?
Ooh. Is it the best, which is, in my opinion, the plain Dairy Milk Cadbury slab?
Well, it's obviously the Toblerone.
Oh, no? Really?
See, yeah.
Anything with biscuit in it.
So I will tell you that these were the recommendations for the judging.
Were the words anything with biscuit in it used at all in this poll?
No, but I will tell you what was used, Ben. It has to come in a bar shape. No cups, no eggs, no bits, balls, pieces, or any of that stuff. So it literally just has to be a bar. So some of the guys that made the list are Twix. Remember Twix, right?
Yeah,
it's two fingers.
Toblerone, Ben, is in the top 10, but it wasn't voted number one.
Well, there's no credibility then.
Is that your favorite chocolate?
It's the best chocolate in the world, Gareth. Look at what goes into it.
Do you know, we went through Geneva, which is in Switzerland, and the Swiss pride themselves on chocolate, and Toblerone is a Swiss chocolate.
Yes.
The Belgians, by the way, also think that they're the bosses of chocolate.
Well, that's why they lure all the kids together, yeah.
What?
No, that's what Belgians do.
Oh, is that what they do?
Wow, that's a sweeping statement.
The whole of Belgium's pedophiles, according to Ben.
Yeah.
But the Swiss chocolates, I mean, they had this one place in the airport in Geneva where they have those little round ones with different things on them, and they actually make them there. I wish I was more of a chocolate fanatic, and maybe I'd know the difference between a great and a crap chocolate. To me, chocolate's chocolate.
Well, it is. All chocolate's good. It just depends on your taste. The higher the cacao, then the less sweet it will be. But generally, chocolate's all very good, unless it's cooking chocolate or old chocolate.
Also, I think the marketing around some of these chocolates tricks the brain into thinking that it really does taste better.
Sure.
I mean, when you're sucking on a Lindt ball, or you're biting into Ferrero Rocher.
Those are good. Those red Lindt balls are really good.
You know, you're thinking, for all the money that I paid for these, it tastes really, really good.
Sure, it's like a fragrance.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so Mars Bar is in there, as well as is Aero and the Crunchy. Crunchy also made the list. But the number one, the best chocolate, according to Ranker, Kit Kat.
What?
See, but this is the way this list is stupid.
Little
okay?
Kit Kat?
List is stupid, because you're talking about Kit Kat, Mars Bars, Crunchy. These are all everyday kind of things. Toblerone's like that is their boss. And now another, it's like saying, the best car is the Toyota Prius. Meanwhile, like the Bentley was like in the top 10.
I see what Ben means. I can see what happens.
So you can't really compare. Right. It's like saying the best Super Rugby team is better than an international rugby team.
So are you saying that there should be a separate ranking system for higher grade chocolates versus the everyday chocolate bar?
No, I just think they stop wasting their time saying there's other best chocolates. It's just Toblerone. That's it.
All right. So Ranker, take that from Ben Karpinski. Your list sucks.
Yes.
Ben doesn't approve of your list.
Yep. Those are the five things you need to know. After seven, we'll get into exactly what went down.
All right.
In the Henry Funbrother.
Oh, how exciting. Remember, this is the place you've always got your Henry Funbrother fix. So this morning will be no different, and we actually have some new information. But first, let's get to Ben and see what's going on in the world of sport. And man, have I enjoyed the little bit of the Winter Olympics I've seen. Probably because I've been in the snow too. I saw some snowboarders last night. You watch that?
Gareth, I've been watching a bit here and there. Winter Olympics, as I've been saying, I've been the only one that's been like really pushing this for the last 3 weeks. It is. It's exciting. It's fantastic.
It's great.
It's in the snow. It's something different. And this great story. It's like the story of Mark McMorris.
Tell me about him.
A year ago, Gareth, he was lying in hospital bed in... Well, he's a Canadian guy. He's lying in hospital dying. He's got 17 Jeez. Broken bones, a collapsed lung, and a ruptured spleen. March last year. Right now, he's an Olympic bronze medalist. He got back on his horse, so to speak. So he had a big snowboarding accident, and he's got back onto snowboarding, and there he is. He's a bronze medalist right there. Like, there's some horror pictures of him going around on social media about when this accident occurred. And he looked like he was literally about to die. They were going to harvest his organs, use his skin for a bag. It all came back together for him, though, because he's now a bronze medalist.
What event?
Yeah. In the snowboarding.
Okay.
Oh, he's a snowboarder. So today, if you are wanting your fix of the Olympics...
You're going to turn him into a bag, really?
Well, that's good. Yeah. Oh. Alpine skiing is currently on right now. You can watch the men's alpine skiing. Now, the alpine skiing started off a bit rocky, a bit bad, because there was too much wind and it was so cold, and then people were falling over the place. They had to reschedule some events. Then the biathlon will take place today. Cross-country skiing. Everybody who's at Pyeongchang to cross-country seems to be in the mix today. From 10:30 South African time through to about 3, you can get everything from the women's sprint classic. All the sprint classics today. What an exciting thing to look at. Right. Curling. Curling is on every day. It's like you just... there's no end to curling. But the mixed doubles gold medal match will be today at 1:05 in South Africa. What an exciting, exciting day.
Don't ruin your credibility. We were talking about how great the Olympics were. Curling is not great. Curling has got to be the dumbest sport in the universe.
No,
I mean,
it's not.
It's basically using a broom.
The nuances, the subtleties, the skill and the tenacity of these curlers. That's what you're always going to look forward to. Ice hockey, luge, Nordic combined, short track speed. Oh. That's the best. And then skeleton, more snowboarding, and then speed skating. It's all happening today in Pyeongchang.
Wow.
Can't miss any of that action. If you do, well, there's so many different channels around this right now. It's really, really exciting. A skating duo has been told to tone down their routine as it's a bit too risque.
What?
So these Canadians, you hear nothing about Canadians. Suddenly gets to Winter Olympics. Everyone's like, okay, so that's Canada. These guys are actually pretty cool. There's this this duet of Virtue and Moore. Those are their names. And they do this move where the female thrusts herself onto the male's shoulders in a provocative sense, and then they ski around basically her urat's in his face. And then he seductively lowers her down to the ice while thrusting his pelvic area towards her. And they have been told to just tone it down. You can't have such provocative skiing at the Olympics, so they had to obviously change their routine slightly. I think what really just threw off the team was that the guy had a raging erection the whole time, but made mention of that.
But you know, the outfits that they make the guys wear.
Look, he said it was his Victorian cod piece. I'm not seeing that story at all. So that's something else to look forward to in the Olympics. How about that? Eh? Provocative skating.
Who would have guessed?
Yeah. Oh, it's so exciting. So today the Proteas take on the Indians again in the cricket. So obviously the pink test is like the pink ODI is the thing that Proteas always win, and they've got some help with the rain and blah, blah, blah. But I think today is back to reality for the Proteas, because they go back to wearing green and they go back to having a shaky middle order. So they were forced into batting like demons on Saturday and just smacking the ball because they had no other choice. But today in PE, you'll see their spinners take greater hold. And that's not me being negative. I just think that these two teams are mismatched right now. And if you get 50 overs a side, which wasn't the case on Saturday, and you get 20 full overs of spin on a pitch that will do something, because that's what the PE pitch does do. It does help the spinners. Then I think it's back to business for India. But if the Proteas manage to somehow get some momentum from Saturday and win this match, then they're going to the 6th ODI at Centurion, which will take place on Friday, and it'll be an exciting match, because if they win that, then the series is drawn 3-3. So basically, the Indians are 3-1 up at the moment, 2 games to go. Very bloody exciting. Today, PE, 1 o'clock. If you're in the area, and let's be honest, it's bug rolls are doing PE, so you must get along and watch that. Rossi Erasmus is targeting a variety of foreign bucks to kind of springboard his campaign towards the World Cup. Now, because Alex Kutsu was given the flick, Rossi's probably going to be taking charge of this team. It just seems that Rossi's doing everything, basically. He came back to Sarri and said, look, I will do everything.
Clearly.
You just give me lots of money. And because most of them are just fans of Rossi, because it's an old boys club that if you played rugby, then they obviously respect you a lot more. Then they go, yeah, sure, Rossi, you can do whatever you want. Here's my wife. Sorry, that was a few years back. It's alleged, and let's carry on. So Rossi is looking to get certain players back. And look, you kind of understand what he's doing here. But the contradictions in Saru are so terrible, because you know there's a whole thing about playing 50 tests, which is great. It means that try to keep players here, but the fact that he's focusing on players overseas that I believe aren't exactly the best. I mean, does he really want Juan de Jong back? Do we not have enough talent that we've got to have that guy? Is there not enough players coming through? We've got to have that guy. Bismarck Duplessis. Malcolm Marx is the best hooker in the world, and there's talented guys underneath him. Do we have to have Bismarck come back?
Shame.
I mean, sure, come back for a couple more adverts around boreholes, but I mean, to play for the box, I don't know. Yeah, look, it's one of those things, like, people love familiarity because they feel secure and they feel comfortable with stuff because there's nobody to work with. But show some faith in the youth. Show some faith in people actually going through the system.
Adverts about boreholes?
Yeah, Bismarck. Bump, 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 bump. He actually says that in an advert because he's...
Oh, dear.
It was about boreholes and pumps and stuff.
Jesus, that's bad. These poor rugby players. I've heard horror stories about how some of them lose all their money on mines and that kind of thing because they're so dumb they don't know what to do.
Well, some of them are just kind of...
And they do borehole numbers.
And finally, today, we'll see the Champions League return. How very exciting, because the leagues are screwed, basically. We all know Barcelona's going to win that one. Man City's winning the other one. PSG won't get touched in France. And, well, Bayern Munich always win the German Bundes, whatever.
Yes.
So, the Champions League is where the real excitement is. Today, Basel will take on Man City. Basel, not so good. Man City, very good. Mm-hmm. Then Juventus will take on Spurs. Those are your two matches tonight. Now, Spurs finished top of their group. So did Man City. So there's a good chance that there might actually be an English team getting somewhere near the business end of this tournament. This is the last 16 stage. So very excited, because now we really are best versus the best, which is exactly what the Champions League is. Hence the name, the Champions League. Then tomorrow, Real Madrid will take on PSG. This is probably the match of the round, because PSG are there's such moneyed, strong, flamboyant, fantastic, and Real Madrid are having an absolute dogshit season. But in the Champions League, they are still defending champions, and you don't just become completely toilet the whole season long. And then tomorrow, we'll see Porto versus Liverpool. So I'll get into more into those matches as of tomorrow. And yeah, that's it for your sport today.
All right, very good. Let's get our attention turned to Sia for a little said by Sia this morning. See what he's got for us in his kettle of fish, his bag of tricks. Good morning. What do you have for us, Sia?
Well, this might not be for everyone, but I like it when technology comes in to really help people who need it. So local artists who struggle to show their work, we often talk about how, you know, it's all good and well that you're passionate about your artwork, but you aren't exactly making money. Well, there's now a new South African mobile app that's hoping to help the situation. It's the recently launched ExhibiD app. EXHIBID app, which provides a free online gallery for visual artists to showcase any unsold work, and its creators have also set up an exhibition fund to assist them with costs of a physical showing. So the app creator Cedric van der Linden said artists who registered their profile on the app could also apply for the fund, which would give them 1,500 rands towards the cost of hosting a physical exhibition in return for promoting the app via the event marketing materials and social media. So Cedric says, what we're trying to do is create a groundswell of support for our local artistic community and to use technology to make it easy for South Africans. He says, well, how do artists connect with other art lovers? Well, that's when he got the inspiration by also looking at the same principles as local-based dating apps. So all you simply do, essentially he describes the app as art in your pocket, which enables users to browse for and bid on art outside the confines of the traditional gallery space. The artist is free to accept or reject a bid, and once a fair price is settled on, the app then connects the artist and buyer directly. So secure payments is made on the app, and look, it's not for everyone. Not everyone is filling up galleries as we speak, but if it's for you, and especially I think as a struggling artist, you put so much passion and effort into your work, well, and so often you're sitting with piles of it at home.
Not only that, but you know, there are so many artists in this country who have that opportunity, but there are also lots of people who want to buy art. I mean, yeah, a lot of people buy absolute crap to put on their walls, and they spend as much money as if, because if you had, let's say you have $500, you can go buy one of those kind of boring prints that you can get at any home decor shop in South Africa, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you could put those up, or you could spend that $500 on an original artwork by a South African artist. And it would cost you the same, but you'll have an original work of art on your wall that no one else will have.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows, it might appreciate in value. So this
Let's
is great.
See how it goes.
I mean,
yeah.
Who knows where to go if you're going to buy art? You have to go to these galleries. You never know what you're walking into there. It could be one of those galleries where you're talking about pieces that are worth over R1 million each. Who can afford that?
And you get to bid as well.
Yeah, you got like $500, you can go and spend it on something nice.
And I think of really the lowest of the low who's really starting out and just passionate about what they do. Well, now everyone's on an equal level with this. So that's it by Sia this morning.
All right. Thank you, Sia. Did you know that pets can help you to live longer? That's right. According to a 2017 study in Sweden, having a dog can lower your risk of dying from cardiovascular disease or other causes. So make sure you have pet insurance for your cat or dog so that you can get them quality medical care when they need it. That's with one plan where you can insure the health of your pets from as little as R133 a month. That's right, you heard me right, R133 a month. Just SMS Cliff to, that's CLIFF, to 31644. That's Cliff to 31644 now, and one plan will call you back. SMS Cliff to 31644. Tell them you heard about it on cliffcentral.com. I suppose you could do that by saying Cliff to that number. And then they will look after you like gold. That's what we do here. And they'll look after your pets as well. R133 a month is all it has to cost you, which isn't going to cost you an arm and a leg. Like if you go to the vet and your pet suddenly needs help and you don't have money, you don't have insurance, that'll hit you like a ton of bricks.
Mm-hmm.
So there we go. Now you know. you know, here's an interesting idea that's just come through on messages from, this is from Roman from the Renegade Report. He said, it appears that Zuma has refused to resign, so the ANC, and this is what my buddy was saying earlier, will ask for a motion of no confidence in Parliament. The DA and the EFF should vote against the motion to try and keep Zuma in power. Imagine what a shambles the ANC will be in.
Yeah, that's what Justice was saying yesterday. Yeah, Justice was calling this was going to happen.
Yeah, he was saying, well, what's in the EFF's and DA's best interest is
to
for
keep
them
him there.
Is to keep the guy there. So, yeah, Roman, it's not entirely far-fetched.
And then they had a press conference yesterday with Musi Maimane and Bantu Holomisa and, you know, Julius and all the opposition party leaders, and they all were saying, you know, this guy's got to go, but we've also got to dissolve Parliament because the ANC is the problem, not Jacob Zuma.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to see what's going on there. Someone, oh, this is Carl in Jersey, says, never mind the lint-red balls. Have you tasted the black ones? I love me some black balls in my mouth, Carl.
Yeah, Carl.
Yeah, you don't find the black ones off too often, hey, Carl.
Yeah. Agree with Ben, there is only Toblerone. Jeez, you're really getting this chocolate debate going. Sia, your modesty is second only to your beauty. I love your work, Michelle. How do you like that? A morning mubs, Ben and Sia. Who's this new guy from Dumisha?
Yeah, Dumisha, you know what? We found him outside the building. Shame, he looked kind of in trouble, so we let him come in. And now he's just kind of taken over. It's annoying.
All right, sorry. Sia, you're right. I watched an old comedy that has Weinstein. Oh, this is from yesterday. Sorry. Damn.
Oh, right.
We're talking about the page.
We're talking about how when you see Harvey's name on the screen, you feel a bit queasy.
Oh, Did you watch a movie with him?
I did.
Did he produce?
With him. Well. Nobody wants to watch a movie with Harvey.
And that's sad, and that's public. The court of public opinion. That's now the connotation. We don't think great producer. Look at the stellar work you've done. We go,
creep. See, we both had that one down.
That was perfect. Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, I wanted to play you something that I listened to on the plane yesterday. I didn't even know that they'd done this collaboration. Seriously, how out of touch I am since I'm not doing music radio every day. Ed Sheeran's great, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like Ed Sheeran. Well, he's done this amazing song. We know the song. It's called Perfect Symphony. But he did it with Andrea Bocelli. Have you heard this version?
Oh, yes.
It is magnificent. Now, you know who Andrea Bocelli is. He's the famous opera singer. He's blind. He's a sensation. He's kind of replaced Luciano Pavarotti as the best opera singer in the world. And he's definitely the guy who Ed Sheeran was thinking of when he wrote the song. In fact, Ed Sheeran says that the original version of the song with just him, or even the versions with Beyonce, he thinks are second to this. This is what he says the song should sound like. So take a listen to this and tell me if you agree. Ed Sheeran and Andrea Bocelli. It's called Perfect Symphony. They actually filmed the music video at Andrea Bocelli's house, apparently. You want to take a listen to this? And that's Andrea Bocelli's dog.
Casually so.
Yeah. He's got a studio in his house. And Ed Sheeran had to learn Italian so he could pull this off properly. Huh? But it is beautiful, and I actually had the song going through my head on the flight back.
Hi guys, ready?
I found a love for me. Well, darling, just dive right in.
This is CliffCentral.com.